Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast. Now here is our lead pastor, Greg DePriest.
Today I began a new series called Simple Truth. Dr. Amy Cuddy is a Harvard psychologist, and she says there are two criteria people would judge you on. Can I trust you? And can I respect you? Another term for these two words are warmth and competence. While competence is very important, it can only be evaluated once warmth has been established. So people want to connect up, but in order for people to connect up with you, they have to feel, I'm going to use my term, it's safe. They have to feel you're safe and you're competent. In this series today I'm taking from 1 John, we're calling it Simple Truth because that is really what the gospel is, simple truth. We make it complicated, and I think much of that comes from our own insecurities. We have this insatiable need to come across as intellectually superior. Jesus did not need to have his ego stoked. He was God in the flesh, therefore he kept it simple. What caused people to be drawn to him? I've often wondered that. What was the thing? What caused crowds to follow him? What caused the disciples to believe that even after he was hung on the cross, they did not stop believing the message? What caused that? Dr. Cuddy, in her book, she calls it presence. That thing that stands out to it, to people. And Simon, I think, on American Idol, he calls it the it factor, that you can have someone with a high-quality voice, but what is the thing that causes people to be drawn, that pulls them in, that it? What is that thing? She said presence is made up of two attributes. And of those two attributes, warmth and competence, I think as you go through this series, the sermon series, and it's going to be for 4 weeks, I think you're going to see John, who walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, who knew him as good as anyone knew him. I think you're going to see why he could tell us that it was he could describe the things that drew people to Jesus Christ. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the light, or not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, one of the first questions that is asked is the question, what is God? And there the answer is given, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. They take a good bit of time to give us an answer, but John, who knew Jesus well, he was very simple way, he just said this, God is light. Perfectly holy, faithful, and pure, sinless. He is light. Simply stated, light is nature's way of transferring energy through space. We can complicate it by talking about the interacting electric and magnetic fields and quantum mechanics and all that, but just remember, light is energy. That's what light is. Light is energy. I want to take a look at a couple of philosophical looks, and this may be just a little boring while I walk through this, but I ask you to bear with me and kind of hang on and grasp this. But we're going to look at two worldviews, and one of these views is going to be dominant in any culture in the world. Let's first look at monism. Monism is the idea that the ultimate reality is unity. Now, it's saying everything is one. Everything is singular. You get it in Buddhist spirituality. You get it in Hindu Brahma. They call it the oneness Brahma. The physicists might call it energy. And in Star Wars, we call it the Force. May the Force be with you. Now, the whole thing about Star Wars, of course, that George Lucas was trying to do was teach this Buddhist form of spirituality about oneness. And it's very interesting how people pick that up. You know, Darth Vader. It turns out there's a good side and a bad side, and the whole idea is to teach monism, that we're all one. Now, there's a problem with that. Let me just give you an example. In Britain, there were two young boys, two kids, and these two kids tortured another child almost to death. If you believe in monism, then you have to believe that we're all one, and what those two boys did was part of the one, as much as somebody helping people in Haiti that are part of the one. You're saying that the concentration camps in Auschwitz and Belsen are as much a part of the one as the love you show your family. And that's a horrendous thing. See, we got a challenge in our culture today. And the challenge in our culture today is people want to believe in, it's really called universalism, that people are basically good. And we believe, say, well, I believe people are basically good. Well, I don't. I believe people are basically evil. People ask me about my children. They say, what are the big surprises with Nick and Emily? And I'm like, that they turned out so good. I am blown away. Because you know why? I know their mama and their daddy. And knowing their mama and their daddy, I am absolutely blown away that they have turned out as good as they have. Because they are depraved individuals. They started living life as little liars. We looked at them and said, did you do that in your pants? And they say, uh-uh. And why? Because our first nature, it's the nature that we got from fallen man and Adam, that we are depraved. And so when people start saying, well, I believe people are basically good, they want to dress this up, and they don't want to make man to be the dark, corrupt, wicked, and depraved or sinful individual that we are. Because that's really what it is. Man is dark, corrupt, wicked, sinful, depraved. That's who we are. And the only good that we are is the grace of God. Paul spent the first three chapters of the book of Romans telling them that there is nothing you could do for yourself, that man is evil to his very core. Now, understand this. There's a difference in being absolute depraved. We are not absolute depraved. If we were absolute depraved, that would mean there is no hope for us. We are totally depraved, which means through and through we're depraved. But it does not mean we're absolute. The hope of us is through Christ. So man thinks in terms of matter, and matter is temporary. Whenever you go to a funeral and they talk about people and they say, we know them now, but now then they have become the new person. What they're saying is they have lost matter. Matter is the flesh that we have in life. You've heard me say this before. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. So we were before, and we will be after. But the challenge is when we start believing that man is basically good, it leads to universalism. Universalism says, I believe basically everyone's going to be saved and that no one's going to be lost. And that's a damnable teaching. It's wrong. And so it sounds good and it feels good. But at least people at a place that they actually at least people at a place in life where psychologically they become despondent. And then it leaves without the hope of redemption. The other philosophical term I want to just talk about briefly is dualism. It's binary, twofold. It's a good versus evil. It's the yin and the yang. And so we take monism or dualism. Dualism is that I'm going through life and I've got the yin and the yang fighting against me. You know the symbols of the yin and the yang. The ancient Persians believed that both good and evil were spiritual. In Greek philosophy, the Gnostics taught that the good was spiritual and the evil was material, so they believed it did not matter if you committed sexual adultery, because that was material. That was evil. It didn't matter, but the spiritual was what was really important. They were confused, but they ultimately believed in a force that had a dark side. Now, what you've got from here, from this fisherman, John, and he's saying, I want to talk to you about a man who is neither monist nor dualist. He's just saying he is light. It's a very simple statement. And in the beginning, if you look at it in that statement, it sounds very simple, and you say, okay, where do I go from here? Well, he's not saying there's an alternative God. He's just saying it's not a good or a bad God. He's just saying there is one God who has no dark side. He is absolute light. I love participating every year in the Dr. Martin Luther King Parade. And this past Monday, as I marched in the Dr. King Parade downtown Kingsport, I look forward to the end when different ones are giving a prayer. But there's this one minister every year. I love what he says, because in the middle of his prayer, somewhere in his prayer, he will make this statement, "You are God all by yourself." And I listen to that and I think, wow, it's true. He is God all by himself. He is light. He's not a dual-natured God. He's not a God that the yin and the yang is going on in him. He is absolute pure light, absolute pure energy. Now, what does that have to do with us? Let me give you a little bit of scriptural background on us. The Bible says you will receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What is he saying in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? He's saying you're going to receive this energy. You talk about the force. You're going to receive the force. The force is going to come through you. So you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, what happens to us is we have a tendency to make God in our image. And in our image, it gets shadowy, it gets dark. It's the dual nature. We want to have this dual-natured God. God likes me today, he doesn't tomorrow. God is against me today, or I did something bad, so he's not shining on me. But today I did something good, and yeah, God's looking out for me. And it's, as I said last week, it's almost a Santa Claus God. You better be good, because I'm telling you why. And so we have this view of God, and that's not, he is light. He is pure, unadulterated, holy light. How does that affect us? Well, darkness is the absence of energy. Light is a triggering force behind many chemical, biological, and physiological changes in life forms on Earth. It provides much needed energy, and it also forms a foundation that aids in visibility. So what happens is when we're in sin, we're absent the energy. We're absent the light. The light is not shining. See, light is only visible when it has matter to bounce off of. It's very interesting. Friday morning, I woke up, and it was about 4:30 Friday morning. And I looked at, we live on the third floor of a loft downtown Kingsport. Normally, I look out, and I can see the stars, but it was glowing. Because you know what? It was snowing. And light downtown had matter to reflect off of. There was not a dark alley downtown Kingsport, 4:30 Friday morning. And the reason there were no dark alleys is because matter was in the sky. And the lights of the town were showing and it was glowing. The whole downtown glowed because the light had something to reflect off of. When you're driving in the snow, you want to put on your sunglasses. Why? Because the light is reflecting. Now, it's interesting. And the purer that it is, the brighter the glow. So the light is reflecting on the snow. It's got this pure glow that it shines. So you put your sunglasses on. Now, if there's a pile of dirt out of here and the light's shining, it's not going to bother you. It starts shining on the snow. There's this beautiful reflection, and it reflects up and comes to you. You see, the energy of God needs man to make himself known to the world. We are the matter. We are that which God desires to reflect off of. We are the reflection of his nature. We are the reflection of his holiness. We are the reflection of who he is. And he wants us to reflect out to the world. 2 Peter 1:4 says, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. He says, God, you know, I want you to get out of this world. I want you to shine something that is bright. So John went on and he said, if you do not have the light, then we don't know God. And those who know God, who walk with him, are of the light and walk in the light. They are made partakers of his divine nature. He said, you know, the more you allow the light to shine, the more you reflect, the more you become like. And the more you become like him, and it's this reflection of his glory, it's a reflection of his holiness. Light changes things. Light shines into this dark place. It's amazing that he's not teaching about religion here. He's talking about attributes. And there's a big difference between religion and attributes. When I go into the world, when I'm in India, and I'm sitting and I'm talking to a group of Hindus, and I'm the only Christian there, it's not intimidating to me, because here's why. I know I have the light. And all I have to do is manifest who Jesus is, and that shines in the room. And that is enough to illuminate. That's enough to let them see. I don't need to give them 40 verses or scriptures and all that. I need to hold a conversation with them. I need just engage them and talk. And as I talk and I show the character of Christ, that bright light has the power to overcome any darkness that may be in the room. I can sit and talk with Muslims and have a conversation with them, because why? It's not about being afraid. It's not about being intimidated. It's about being able to know that I can sit and have a conversation, and the light shining in my life has the power to dispel all darkness. All darkness. Recently, I was in a place and I ended up going into being seated by some folks. I did not know those folks didn't like me. They didn't know me. But they had already told some folks that they just didn't like me. And I'm a pastor, and these folks are agnostics, or I would say, or that's what they say they are. They just struggle and don't believe in religion and agnostic. And they had made a statement that they didn't like me. And it was interesting what changed, because over a period, within a few days, they were telling some folks, you know, I think kind of like Greg. And that person was telling me, said, what changed them? Well, I can't change them. But you know what I can do? I can just go and I can love. And I can open up my heart and allow the light to shine. And the light is what shines on people's life. The light is what makes the difference. I told you this story, but I want to tell it again. I was in Missouri about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was hunting, and I was down in the valley of the farm, and there's no cell phone reception, so it's pretty remote. And while I was down there, I saw a cougar. And I told them, I said, I saw a cougar. And they said, no, we don't have cougars. And I said, I'm telling you, I saw a cougar. And they said, no, you saw a bobcat. I know a bobcat, and I know a cougar. I saw a cougar. Well, they didn't believe me. Well, while they were feeding cattle that winter, they called me and said, hey, Greg, you were right. We got cats on the place. They called the game wardens. The game wardens checked, and they did DNA samples on hair where they went through the fence, and they said, yep, you got cougars here. So I was there this November, and when I went down, I put my blind down in there where I'd seen that cougar, because it's a good spot for deer. And I put it, and next day morning I went down. I was in there, it was about 5 in the morning, and I had this light. And it was one of these new lights that they call the marine light. That, boy, I mean, it just really is strong and bright. And I had that light, and I'm walking in there. But I just couldn't find my blind. And finally, I guess probably ran all the deer out of the country, but I found my blind. And I get in there, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I get all situated, and I got my bow and arrow, and I'm ready. And all of a sudden, I hear this scream, and I knew it was a cougar. Now, it felt like he was just outside the blind, okay? I don't know how far away he was, but it was way too close for me. And the minute I heard that scream, all I could think of, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, and I grabbed my flashlight, and I'm shining it everywhere outside that tent. I'm thinking, you know, I was using my spiritual warfare on that cougar, you know. But I realized that even at that, Predators like the dark. Predators like the dark. But good likes light. You like light to shine. Now, why is that important? Well, light reflects on matter. And matter has to be the visibility part of it. Here's what happens when we start walking together as Christians. When we tear down all the walls, all the socioeconomic walls, when we tear down all the racial walls, when we choose tear down all the gender walls, when we tear down all the walls, what happens is we begin to look, and as my light shines on you and your light shines on me, the world becomes a glowing place with the light of Christ. I love our Christmas Eve service because in our Christmas Eve service, we do the candlelight. And we start with a candle. One candle lights another. And before long, this entire auditorium is glowing with light. And it starts with one, glowing from another, catching another and catching another. And it's that light. What John is seeing is this incredible force, this incredible energy, this incredible light is looking for people, is looking for matter that he can shine upon. And he wants to shine because why? We are the reflection of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God, of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Since we are reflections of God, and since God is light, our engagement with other people allows his light to shine on others. And just as man produces the matter to reflect his glory, we need other people or other matter to reflect his glory. That's why we come together as believers and as Christians. In a few weeks, or 2 weeks, we're going to be going to Washington, D.C. to the National Prayer Breakfast. And it's very amazing because the National Prayer Breakfast, its entire focus is the teachings of Jesus. And it's focused on Jesus. And at the National Prayer Breakfast, you see such an incredible group of people that gather. The president and first lady and the vice president, they will be there. And then it's amazing. Last year, every year it's unique people. Last year I looked and there's Richard Gere and the Dalai Lama and King Hussein from Jordan was going to be there, but he couldn't be because of ISIS had shot down one of their planes, so he had one of his representatives. But there was a couple with us, and they were sitting at a table with a Muslim man, and he was there. And here, this is all focused on Jesus, and this Muslim man was sitting there. Well, when Dear Waltrip, he gave his testimony. And he gave a powerful testimony. He talked about his arrogance, and he talked about his ego and his pride, and how his mom, his wife, with a group of women, began to have a prayer meeting. In that prayer meeting, they began to pray for him, and how the Holy Spirit worked on him and dealt with him and in his life. And in that same time, of course, he and Dale Earnhardt Sr. together, and they were praying for the two of them. And he talked, and he made this statement, and he said, you know, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Now, that's a powerful statement to make when you've got this incredible group of people and big crowd there. And he said, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And when he was there, it's a powerful testimony. And when he was done, the president and first lady went over and grabbed him and hugged him. And you saw this incredible exchange. It was like the light of Darrell Waltrip's testimony was a powerful witness in that room. And this Muslim man was sitting there and he said, that was incredible. And the couple said, what made you feel good about that? He said, because it was from his heart. He believed it. It's from his heart. That was wonderful. And we sat and talked about it. And we said, you know, I wonder what happens when we choose to get all of our stuff out of the way. See, sin does not allow the light of God to reflect on and from us. Sin hinders the light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, that light will shine on them. But the problem is sin hides it. And what is sin? Sin can be various things. Sin can be pride, arrogance. Sin can be in numerous things that are, but we allow this veil of sin to cover our lives. And when we allow that veil of sin to cover our lives, the reflection of God is not visible to those around us. Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So what do we do? What do we do when we're struggling and with areas of our life? People come to me and say, "Greg, I don't know what direction to take." But can I tell you this? If the light is shining on your life, the light shines and reflects off of you. And the scripture says, "And he is a light unto my pathway, a lamp unto my feet." And if I'm allowing the light to shine on my life, then my path is illuminated. And many times we are saying, "I want to see the way, but it's not visible." But what we don't understand, there's something covering the illuminating of the Holy Spirit. There's something covering that the light is not reflecting. So what do we do about that? I was struggling in my life. We were living in Nashville. Nicholas was a little boy. Denise was pregnant with Emily. And man, I was struggling with lust and temptation. I love Denise, love my child, and looking forward to the little girl, but I was struggling. My thoughts were so wrong. Man, I couldn't see a way. And I thought, I don't know what to do. So I called to the church. There were three men, Jim, Jack, and John. That was kind of interesting that these three prayer warriors, all their first names started with a J. And those three men, they would meet with people and pray with them. And I called and set up an appointment. Every Tuesday night, they would meet, and they would gather and pray, and then they would open up. After they had prayed together, then they would come in, and you would sit in the room. They'd come in, and we'll pray with you. But they would be in there praying until they felt the presence of God, and then they would ask people to come in as one by one. They would ask God to give them direction for people as they prayed for them. I sat in the chair, and they looked at me and said, I'll never forget Jim Enoch. He looked and said, "Greg, what's going on? We see that you wanted prayer." And I said, "Guys, I'm struggling. If I don't get help, I'm afraid I'll lose my family. I'm afraid I'm going to really mess up. I need help." I said, "I don't know why, but it's just a struggle. This lust, this temptation, my thoughts." And they got on their knees and they laid hands on me and began to pray for me. And you know, I can't say just everything left right then. I've had struggles and challenges since. But here's been the unique thing. By confessing. See, confession allows the cloak of sin to be removed and allows his light to shine on and from us. By confessing to those men my struggle, something changed in me. I had to get honest. You see, our challenge is we're so afraid of what people will think. And then sometimes these little sin areas of our life, we want to cloak. And we're saying, why won't God shine on my life? But my question to us, are we living in sin? It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's not for you. It just means his light can't shine if you're walking in sin. You hinder the veil. There's a veil that's covering. And that veil is not allowing the reflection of his glory in your life. You may be a child of God, but sin is a veil. And sin, that veil of sin covers and does not allow the light to shine. So when people say, I don't know what direction to turn, I just want to say, without being condemning, without putting anyone down, I just want to say, there's something that maybe you need to confess. There's something that you need to open up your heart and say, God, I'm struggling, and maybe there's somebody you need to go confess to and talk to, because confession removes the cloak of sin. It allows the cloak of sin to be removed and his light to shine. Psalms 32 and 3 says, "Before I confessed my sins, my bones felt limp and I groaned all day long." David said, before I confessed my sins, I experienced anxiety and depression, and I experienced this part of my life that I didn't feel good. And he said, I struggled. Because confession allows the freedom of the Holy Spirit to shine. And when that freedom of the Holy Spirit shines, it's amazing what takes place in our lives. For me, that moment was an incredible moment. I look back on it. I'll tell you how powerful it was. By confessing and allowing those men to pray for me and speak in my life, after they got through praying, Jim Enoch looked at me and he said, Greg, I believe I have a word from the Lord for you. And he said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to speak over your life. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of a little bit scared now. And he began to speak. He said, God is going to call you into pastoring. You're going to lead a church and you're going to lead people. I'm sitting here thinking, my God, I just said I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with things in my life, temptation. And this guy is saying that God's going to call me into ministry. You know what happened? When I opened up my heart and confessed, there was light that began to shine. And now then this man could even speak into my life. And I look and I'm here today, 20-some years later. And I'm like, what happened? So whenever I'm struggling, I go to God and I say, okay, God, there's something that's hindering. Because you are energy. You are light. You're powerful. And I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And the Holy Spirit is the energy and the power of God. What's causing the connection? What's messing up this reflection of your glory? What's causing me to not see the path that you want me walking on? What do I have to remove? You know, I don't talk about sin a lot because I want to focus on Jesus. I think we need to focus on Jesus. But it would be unjust and unfair and wrong of me not to tell you that sin hinders the reflection of God's grace and light. And that's why we have to open up and say, forgive me. Sometimes people will tell me, say, I'm a Christian and I'm practicing this and or we're doing this, and I want to say, you're his child. But the sin that you're living in will cause the light of his glory to not reflect. And somewhere along the way, you have to repent and confess so his light can shine. Now, that's not bad news, that's good news. You know, when you first come to Christ and you repent, it's amazing, you feel like a load was lifted. But even as a believer, when you decide to remove those little dark places, those little secret places that you've kept all to yourself and you don't want to tell anybody about, it's amazing what happens, the load gets lifted. The way becomes brighter. What is that brightness? It's the light of God. It's the light. Because in him is light and there is no darkness. And as a believer, you have the light of God, the energy of God, the glory of God wanting to shine upon your life. And you've got to just say, you know what? You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just weak. Can I tell you this? I understand. I am too. But sin is sin. And I have to decide to open up the doors and the cover and the veil and lift it off and say, I want your glory more than I want my pleasure. I want your glory more than I want this little secret dark place that I keep to myself. I want you. And I let my light shine. You know, that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for people that will open up and say, let's let our light shine. What is that light? It's him shining on us, and we get to shine on others. And then as I shine and you shine and we begin to shine on others, it's amazing what happens. We don't have to be afraid of the world. I'm not afraid of the world. My only fear is if I try to hide. and try to cover, try to justify. So whenever I'm willing to say, let's move it out, Greg, just say it is what it is. Lord, shine your light on me so that I can be the light that reflects you. That's what he's asking us today. Father, today, I ask you to let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In you, there is no darkness. That means there's no question. In you, there is no darkness. That means there is no lack of energy. In you, there is no darkness. That means there's no frustration on direction because you're light. Lord, let us be willing to address the areas of our life that keep us from seeing the light. Let us be willing to address those things that we're afraid to open up and remove the veil so that your light can really shine and reflect and manifest your glory to all that we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.